Well, thank you, worship team. That is one of my favorite songs, such a simple but beautiful song to sing to the Lord when you don't know what else to sing. Well, today, before we continue, I just want to share with you a couple things. You would have heard in Dave McVitie's prayer that Sharon's father had passed away this past weekend. So the Richardsons are not with us this morning. They're up in Prince George. So please remember to keep that family in your prayers. And are we still having difficulty with the screen behind? No, we're good? Awesome. Thank you. Number two, I also just want to let you know, remind you, the series that we're going through in January, it's called Ask Anything. And what we talk about is up to you. I've been asking you to ask any question you want, and you have answered. So far, I've gotten about 17 questions, and I've seen a lot of more people today throwing some more questions in there, and I would welcome you to ask any question you want. I'm still taking questions. Of some of the questions I have received, I'd like to read to you just to get you thinking about some of the possible things we will be talking about in January. Here's a few questions. One, what are some of the ways to spread the gospel while being shy? Good question. If God saved us from the power of sin, why do we keep sinning? When someone is in need financially, how do you know if you should help? Here's a good one. Can you be gay and Christian? How could a sovereign and loving God allow evil to happen? Why are we here? What's the meaning of life? And what's love? And how old do you have to be to truly understand love? So thank you for those of you who have been asking those questions, and we'll be getting to them at some point. Not all of them, likely, but I'll get to the ones that might make sense for us to address. And we'll see throughout the year, as time goes on, if I'll be able to address them, those questions, in other ways throughout the year. That being said, I just want to remind you what series we are in. We are in a series called Chaotic Christmas. It's a two-week series. We're in week two of two. Last week, we had the privilege of interviewing Joseph and Mary, and we had a lot of fun with that. What I found ironic with Joseph and Mary, though, is, especially when they were in the Lord's will, that they had experienced an incredible amount of chaos in their life. And in a kind of different but similar way, we're going to see another character in the Bible, King Herod, who was very heavily involved in the Christmas story, and how he caused a tremendous amount of chaos. So we're going to need some prayer before this guy comes in. So let me pray. Lord, thank you for the just opportunity, Lord, to speak from your word. And we pray, Lord, that your word would speak to us. I also pray, Lord, that I wouldn't die, that King Herod wouldn't kill me, or any one of us here. So I pray for safety, Lord, as he comes in. And just be with us, Lord, and just pray that your spirit will be convicting us, Lord, of things that you want to share with us this morning. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, I'm going to need your help. I'll get to that in a second, but you need to know, number one, King Herod is experiencing time travel today, so he might be a little groggy, a little grumpy. I mean, he's always grumpy, but it is what it is. Okay, you also need to know that Herod is one of the biggest jerks you will ever meet, all right? His ego is as big as the moon. He is intensely insecure, but you have to pretend like you like him. In fact, you have to pretend like you love him. And what I'm going to need you to do, I'm going to need you to stand in a moment, and I'm going to get you to cheer and clap for him to come in. Now, you have to cheer like nobody's business. You have to cheer as if you're cheering for your favorite hockey team who had just won the winning goal in the Stanley Cup Finals. Because if you hold back, he might think you're out to get him. He might think you're a threat to his power. He might kill me. All right? I'm serious. No joking around. Please be on your best behavior. Here are some things. Now, he's going to come in. You're going to cheer some stuff. And he's going to go like this. And when he does this, you be quiet. Do not talk to your neighbor. You sit down. You be quiet. We cut the music. We good? Here are some recommended statements that you got to shout out. Repeat after me. Herod, you're amazing.
Herod, you're amazing.
A little louder. Herod, you're amazing.
Herod, you're amazing.
Perfect. Herod, you're my best friend. I mean, you got to say that because he has no friends, all right? What else do we have here? Oh, long live the king.
Long live the king.
Very good. Herod, you're my favorite king.
Herod, you're my favorite king.
And you can probably think of other cheers and other things to say to King Herod, but you got to give it your all. Are we ready? Okay, cue the music. Let's stand. Put your hands together and welcome the King, the amazing one, King Herod. King Herod, it is just so awesome.
That's not how you greet the king.
I'm sorry.
Kneel before
yes,
King Herod.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sorry.
You fool.
Amazing.
Sit down.
Yes. Yeah.
I know.
Yes, King Herod.
That's why I'm here.
Listen, King Herod, it's so awesome to meet you.
Silence.
Yes.
I'm thirsty. You're spilling on me, fool. Off with you!
Well, King Herod, I just wanted to...
Silence!
Yes.
I'm hungry, bring me some... What is this? You fool! I only eat the red M&Ms! You have 20 seconds to get me a bowl of red M&Ms. 20! 19! 18!
Hurry up!
Five,
hurry up!
4!
You only have 3 seconds!
No. Closer! Closer! These are good M&Ms! They melt in your mouth, not in your hand! You've done well, servant. I think I shall promote you to head trustee. Be gone! Would you like one of my red M&Ms?
Only if you like. I mean, yeah.
No! Start?
Oh, only if you are.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I didn't travel through time for nothing.
Okay. So you're ready? Well, King Herod, we have a mic there for you to grab and to talk into. And I just...
What's this? Oh.
It's modern technology.
Cool.
Hello.
Yes. Anyways, King Herod, I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you, and if it's okay, it's there in my notes here, and can I go ahead and ask you some questions?
You may ask.
Thank you so much. First of all, I just want to say that it is an absolute honor on behalf of myself and everyone sitting here this morning that it is just an honor to be in your presence.
Yeah, you bet it's an honor. It's an honor for you to be in my presence, and it's an honor for the rest of you scum.
Exactly, yes. Yes. Now, King Herod, you are an incredibly important historical figure. In fact, the Bible mentions you throughout an entire chapter, Matthew chapter 2. We'll get to that in a bit. But I want to start by sharing a few phrases, a few statements that people have attributed to you. And you just let me know if these statements are true, if they're accurate, and if you're agreeable to them.
All right.
Great. The first statement is this, is that you were considered to be a madman who murdered his own family and a great many rabbis.
Yes. Hunting rabbi is my favorite.
Okay. It's also said of you, here's an interesting one, that you were the evil genius of the Judean nation.
Oh, yes. That's one of my favorites.
Okay. Another one. You were prepared to commit any crime in order to gratify your unbounded ambition.
100%.
Okay. Amazing, yes. And now on the positive side, people referred to you as the greatest builder in Jewish history.
Oh, yes, that's me.
Now, according to the Jews, the reason why they said this is because you, King Herod, you built the temple. And this temple was so complex, it took 46 years to complete, and it all started with you, approximately 20 BC.
That's right. This isn't mural construction. We finished this project in 46 years. What an amazing feat.
Yes, well let me continue. I mean, other than that, you were basically referred to, you're going to go down in history as a ruthless tyrant.
Thank you.
Yes. You were, I'm told, you ruled the Judea from approximately 37 BC to 4 BC. Now, it was tough for you to get into Judea. It was quite the struggle. Can you tell me, remind us what happened?
Well, first, I had the Roman Empire behind me, and then I had to kill the king Antigonus, mm-hmm. and take over Jerusalem, and that took me a total of 3 years.
Long time. But you took over Judea, you became the king. Now I heard that you had some issues at home, some family struggles. You married the niece of Antigonus,
Miriam.
Yes, Miriam, and then you banished your wife Doris and the son you had together. I mean, what was up with that? Were you guys having marriage problems or something?
Well, I was trying to gain the people's trust in Judea, so I needed to marry Miriam. But the only problem was that I had a wife and a child, so I banished them.
That's cruel.
Not really. I'll do anything for power.
I mean, ironically, though, your wife Miriam, the person you thought would help secure power, you thought eventually that she was a threat to you.
Yes.
Can you remind me what happened to her?
I killed her.
You killed your wife?
Yes.
What kind of a person are you?
I told you I'm a tyrant, and if you get in my way, that's what's going to happen. I don't care if you're my wife.
Absolutely. Now let's continue with the questions. Here's the ironic thing, though. This woman you married, you had two sons with her. What happened there? I mean, didn't you love her?
Yes, I loved her, but I had to do what I had to do.
Mm-hmm. And what happened to those guys?
Well, I had to kill them, too.
You killed your sons?
That's right. It's bad for business to have loose ends.
What kind of a person
Stop
are
fidgeting.
You? I mean, okay, let me summarize. Let me get this straight. So you became the king of Judea. And once you did that, you killed Antigonus. In order to win the favor of the people, you married his niece, and you banished your wife and the son you had together with her. And then you thought that this other wife was threatening your power, so you killed your wife, you killed your children. I mean, it sounds like you killed your entire family.
Oh, not everybody. I had other wives and other children, but there was this one son who kept stepping out of line, so I killed him too.
That's disgusting. I mean, the saying of you must be true. It's must be better to be Herod's pig than to be one of Herod's sons.
That's what they say, and I'm proud of it.
Okay. Well, now that we got that straightened out, let's move on to the biblical account. Now, this story where you are found in the Bible is Matthew chapter 2. And I'd like to ask you, Herod, would you like me to read it, or would you simply like to just tell us what happened?
I want you to read the story. I love hearing stories about myself.
Naturally. Of course. I'll do that. It starts here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. And it starts with a name that I'm sure you're very familiar with, the name Jesus.
Ugh.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in your territory, in Judea, your turf.
My turf.
During your reign. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands. You remember the wise men?
Yes, I remember the Magi from the east.
They arrived in Jerusalem and they asked this question. They asked, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose and we have come to worship him." You were deeply disturbed, crazy disturbed, when you heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. Now, can you tell me why you were so disturbed?
Right. Well, that's a simple question to answer. They were looking for the newborn king of the Jews. But I, Herod the king, was the king of the Jews. That was very disturbing to me.
I get it. Let's continue. The story continues and it says this, that you called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law, and you asked them, another interesting question, you asked them, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Do you remember what they said?
Yes, they said, Bethlehem in Judea.
You got it. For this is what the prophet wrote. And then they said this, and you, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then you called for a private meeting with the wise men, and you
yes.
learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then you told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And then you said this, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. Why'd you ask the wise men to tell you where Jesus was?
So I could kill him. I already told you, I'll do anything to anybody that gets in my way. And I don't care if I kill Jesus, I kill my wife, I kill my child, I'll kill you too, pal.
I get it. Now listen, I mean, if I were in your shoes, I would not be, well, I wouldn't be acting like you. You're nuts, okay?
Thank you.
But I believe, you know, we have two choices in life. We can either serve ourselves or we can serve the true king. We can either worship ourselves or we can worship the true king, Jesus.
Right. Whatever. What's up with all these decorations around here anyways?
Oh, that's simple. We're just celebrating Christmas, you know, the birth of Jesus.
What? Jesus? Here? In the building?
No. He's no. Oh, no,
what?
No. You don't understand.
Hey.
May I hold baby Jesus?
No, you don't understand. Jesus, he's not here. The baby Jesus isn't here.
Who has a birthday celebration for somebody who doesn't even come to the party? You're a liar.
No, let me explain. How do I say it? The presence of Jesus is here, but the actual baby Jesus, he's not here.
Yeah, right. That's the dumbest thing I've heard all day.
No.
Bart,
no.
Kill him.
No. Have mercy. No. Have mercy. I can help you.
How can you help?
Oh, think. I know a king. I know the king of Canada.
You know the king of Canada. Will he help my rule?
Well, listen. He has the allegiance of every single Canadian, and we actually pay him. We pay him to drug us and to control us.
Oh, to drug you and control you.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Yes.
What is this man's name?
This man's name is Mr. Tim Hortons.
Oh, I would love to meet this man.
Yes, and I can take you right to him after the service.
Well, rise and sit down. I'll spare your life this time.
Thank you.
But you better bring your credit card.
Yes, I will. Okay, I just want to get this interview done and over with. Let's continue with the story. Okay, where are we here? Okay, the story continues. And it says, after this interview that you had with the wise men, they went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. And I don't think you're going to like this line. They saw the house. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped Jesus. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it was time to leave. They returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to you. And you know, as crazy as the story sounds, and as crazy as you are, King Herod, the cool thing about this story is that God was on to you. God is in control. And no matter what chaos we experience in Christmas, God is always in control. The story continues. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Now you are furious. I mean, absolutely furious when you found out that the wise men had outwitted you. So what'd you do at that point?
Well, I gathered my armies. And I sent out my soldiers to kill all children under the age of 2 in Bethlehem.
That's disgusting. Why are you doing that for?
Because I wanted Jesus dead. I told you he was coming against me. He wanted my power. Wouldn't you have killed him?
No. Listen, as disgusting and as lewd as that is consistent with the biblical account. It says here that you sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Your brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah. Weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. Now, last thing, King Herod, your decision to kill all those baby boys during this Christmas story caused a tremendous amount of chaos. It was crazy. And you know what? In fact, that act may go down in human history as the most disgusting, vile, inhumane act ever. Do you have any last words?
Yeah, I suppose I do. I'd do it all again. And I told you before, I don't care if I kill Jesus. Anybody gets in my power, I'm going to have something to say about it, buddy. And you'll be next.
Okay. Well, that being said, I think we're done. Thank you so much, King Herod, for being here this morning. And I'd also like to thank Aaron Belche for playing such a difficult role. In case you're new here, Aaron Pelche is not a psycho, all right? He loves the Lord with all of his heart. He's a generous, sweet man, and don't want this character to ruin his real-life character. But I love him to bits. He's awesome. He loves the Lord, and we get along well. So, and you can thank Aaron later on, of course. He's a nut bar. You can also thank someone else. If you're going to Tim Hortons this afternoon, you can thank them for saving your pastor. So I just want to share a few more comments just as we're closing about this story of King Herod. Some sources have suggested that, you know, you might ask yourself, how many infants actually died? And so some sources suggest that because of the population, it couldn't have been more than 20, less than 20. Other sources suggest it could have been up to 64,000 infants that were killed. I don't really know exactly the number, but either way, whether it was 1, 10, 64,000, whatever, that was just disgustingly horrible. You know, I can't imagine living during those times. If I was living in those times with the family that I have now, my two youngest sons would be killed. They'd be knocking down my door, and they'd be doing what they do to kill my sons. I cannot imagine living in that time. It would have been chaos. Another thing, I found a lot of things about King Herod this past week as I was reading more about him. And apparently, when he was about to die, he ordered that every member from every family, one member from every family, be put to death just because he was dying, and he wanted to ensure that there was mourning and weeping when he died. He was a nut bar. He was a psycho. And this guy was after Jesus. I didn't finish chapter 2, and I'm just going to finish chapter 2, verses 19 and following for you here. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that a new ruler of Judea was Herod's but when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said. He will be called a Nazarene. So again, Herod was a ruthless, tyrant, crazy person who contributed big time to a chaotic Christmas. Before we judge him, and maybe we rightfully so have the right to judge him, at the same time, we need to remember that we have the potential to act like King Herod. I said it in the skit. We have two options in life. We can either serve ourselves, we can worship ourselves, or we can worship the true King of Kings, and that's Jesus. And when we choose to live a life that where we follow ourselves, we serve ourselves, we worship ourselves, you know what? In a similar way, we act like King Herod. And so I need to ask you, in closing today, whose side are you on? Are you worshiping yourself like King Herod did, following yourself, living life your own way, or are you committed to Jesus? And if you want to be on Jesus' side this morning, what you need to do is you need to understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again 3 days later, and you need to commit your whole life, whole heart to serving him, and just commit it to him in a wholehearted fashion. You need to accept him as your Lord, as your Savior, and King of your life. Jesus said something interesting. He said, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So again, whose side are you on this morning? Worshiping yourself or worshiping Jesus? If you haven't made that commitment to follow Jesus, there is a prayer team that would be glad to help you, my right, your left, on the front pew here, and they would be glad to help you pray through that prayer of commitment. If you have come today, on the other hand, and you have any prayer need, whether great or small, again, you can go to the prayer team and they'd be glad to pray for you. I'm going to just close in prayer and invite the worship team to come back. And by the way, at the end of the service, if we can get some help cleaning up these M&Ms, that would be amazing. Lord, thank you so much for today. And Lord, thank you for Aaron Pelche for playing a difficult role. And we pray, Lord, that today, hopefully, that we've had a little bit of a better understanding of the chaos that you went through, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if anyone is experiencing a chaotic Christmas this morning, we remember what Joseph and Mary went through, what you went through, Lord, and what the other people went through. And remember that no matter what, Lord, you are in control, even when things seem like they're going crazy. Thank you for being a God who's in control and in charge and knows what's going on in this world. We just pray you continue to be with us for the rest of the service. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.